let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here. And Lord, not knowing how much longer we'll be coming to these services, but believing that it could be this year, I don't know. But Father, we're longing to go home, longing to be in your presence. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us until that time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, I saw a mistake in my notes, so I just had to make a change. Now, this morning we're going to be looking at Satan's Eden number 268, and we'll entitle this Partakers of His Grace. Now, this morning we'll read from Brother Branham's sermon, God of the Evil Age, and we'll take our text from a paragraph where he says, let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning that we can believe, See, there's a lot of people that can't believe, but we're grateful that we can. Now, what a statement. We're grateful for the fact that we can believe. One in a million who are predestinated by His grace just to be able to believe. The rest of the world can't. You know, the Bible says they can't. It says they're not able to understand the things of God. Like it says in John 1:12, I'm going to read from the Weiss translation. But as many as received Him, that means as many as were predestinated to receive Him, because if you were not predestinated before the foundations of the world as an attribute, as a son or daughter of God, you cannot become a son or daughter of God. All right? So it says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God. You don't have a right to become a child of God if you weren't born a child of God. Okay? And that's not up to you to decide, well, I'm going to become a child of God. It's up to the Father to give birth to a son of God. To them gave He the right to be transformed into what they were in His thinking before the foundations of the world, children of God. Even to them that believe on His name. Now back to Brother Brown's quote. He said, it's been made possible by the shed blood of Thy Son that we would be partakers of His grace and become sons and daughters of God through His obedience to the death of the cross. Notice again, see, people just brush over the message. He says, well, we'll put on a tape and we'll listen, and they don't even stop to think, what is he saying? We've been given an ability to become a partaker, as a child of God, a partaker of His grace. Well, you think everybody's got the grace of God. Everybody received the grace. It says to become sons and daughters of God through His obedience. Through His obedience. Not what you've done. Not you're accepting Jesus. That doesn't make you a son. You know, it might make you a Republican or a Democrat, but that don't make you a son. Now notice, it is by God's grace that we were even allowed to receive Him. And then when we receive Him, this grace is like a fertilizer, and it allows us to grow into what He ordained us to become. His child. And then He continues, and be justified by believing on Him and His resurrection. Now the Holy Spirit's shed abroad in our hearts. Now, so this grace that allows us to believe also justifies us. The very fact that you're entering into this grace, the very fact that He has chosen you out of 8 billion people in this world to believe, it justifies you as well, because as many as He saw before the foundations of the world, He lays out this grace, brings you in, you believe, and that believing actually justifies you. Because what is it justify? What is justified? Well, you know, we look at it as you were guilty, but now you're not guilty. You know, pronounced not guilty. That's really not what it means. Justifies means that you are what He thought of you as being before the foundations of the world. You are sons, so this grace puts you into that place where you are what He wants you to be, okay? So this grace that allows us to believe also justifies us. This is quite a statement that he says here. Notice here that Brother Branham speaks of us as partakers of his grace. He thinks, he links this with becoming his God's sons and daughters. And it is not one-sided, as God, the very Elohim, self-existent one, who could have created a bunch of puppets to do only what he willed. But he actually made us partakers with him, and then gave us ability to express ourselves. So Brother Branham says in paragraph 2, we are grateful for this opportunity to come here this morning to share our thoughts, our adorations, that means our gratitude for making us a family member. Remember, you can't become a family member. Now, in this world where they have a different form of adoption, I suppose you can. But in God's form of adoption, you are a son or you're not a son. And if you are a son, you can be adopted into the family. All right? Other ones who are not predestinated cannot be adopted into God's family. All right? To be able to give our expressions by song, testimony, reading of psalms, reading thy word. So, in other words, God has not just made us puppets to sit there and just like drones, but he's made us to have an expression. He's made us to be able to talk his word. He's made us to be able to share our thoughts. You mean we're sharing our thoughts? Yeah, and you're sharing them with God. You realize that? You're sharing your thoughts with God. So hopefully they came from him first, okay? To be able to give ourselves, okay, as sons and daughters of God, we share the same life, which is his life, for all eternity. Now you say, well, wait a minute, I don't remember. That's right, God withheld your memory. You bypassed your theophany, but you always were a son in his thinking, and then you come forth to this world to receive something, and we're going to talk about that today, that will change you from just being like a toddler to a fully mature son or daughter of God. And waiting, he says, solemnly upon the Holy Spirit, that is why we come prayed up to church early, to deliver to us the message appointed for this hour. Now that's the key right there. To deliver the message for this hour. Grant it, Lord, may we profit by it being here today. Wow. Each of these thoughts, we could take a complete sermon just to really dive down and dissect what is being said. You can't do that just listening to a tape. Unless you take that one tape and spread it out over, spread that one tape out over 268 sermons, okay? That's what you want, is you want to be able to look at what the prophet's saying. Look at it, dissect it, rightly divide it, all right? And when we leave the building, may we say it like those coming from Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us this morning, okay? Grant these things, eternal God, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, be seated. Now notice here that Brother Branham distinguishes a difference between our actions presented to him. That's our talking and gratitude and expressions and this and that. And his message appointed for this hour. There's a difference between the two. Therefore, today I would like to look more closely at these two opening paragraphs in order to set our thoughts in the proper mindset by God's grace and our awareness of his presence. You see, if you're totally aware of his presence, you won't be foul-mouthed. You won't be distracted by your own intentions. You'll be saying, wow, God is listening to every thought I'm saying, everything. Your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words, okay? But today we're going to look more closely at this opening paragraphs, okay? There are three major points Brother Branham is bringing out here in these first two paragraphs. First of all, that we are partakers of his grace. That's God's grace. So God has offered it and we've received it. To as many as received him, to them gave he power. As many who were ordained to receive him. As many as were built. As many as have the ability You don't have the ability. You just don't work yourself into an ability. You either have it or you don't. You can't work yourself into becoming a great athlete unless you're born that way. You can't give yourself an ability to play music unless you're born that way. I tried. I can't. All right? My daughter does really well. But I can't. My other daughter, Sarah, does really well. But I can't. I've sat with a guitar and I can't play it. I just can't. But I do have a voice, or I used to. And so I can sing. But you see, I was born that way. All right? So the second is that through the partaking of this grace, we become sons and daughters of God. And that's the most important thing for us to think about, is through this partaking of this grace, it allows us to become what we already were in God's thinking, sons and daughters of God. And third, apart from what we have to offer to God, the emphasis is on what He has to offer to us and what He has already done. Now, this is a time which have been marked out and set aside or appointed for this hour, as Brother Branham put it. So let's go to scriptures. As we look at this first and second points, where Brother Branham speaks of this grace that we are looking for, we should look at the point, number one, number two, together, since Brother Branham links this becoming sons with being partakers of this grace. In other words, you don't have this grace, you don't become sons. What is this grace? We're going to get into that. You see, everybody looks at grace as, well, it's unmerited favor. Well, that's true. And you didn't merit it. God birthed you. Okay, being born of not flesh and blood, but of God, okay? Now, before we open our Bibles, I would like first to clarify what Brother Branham is saying here when he speaks of this grace to become sons. Now, the word become is not what you may think it is. If you're Baptist, you think you could become a son of God from a hog. We'll change species. We'll just become. That's not it. A butterfly becomes a butterfly, but he starts out as a caterpillar. But the butterfly wings are already in him. It doesn't go to the store and say, I want a pair of wings. He can't get what's not his. It's part of him. All right? A frog doesn't become a frog from a tadpole by going out and to a designer store and saying, I want green skin with some colors on it. I want big eyes. He's already, a tadpole is already a frog. He just has to grow into it, okay? So John 1, 12 and 13 says, for as many as received him, to them gave he the power. And that word power is a Greek word, exousia, and it means the ability to make a right decision. See, the people in this world don't have the ability to make a right decision. They talk about free moral agency, and the Bible says there is a way that appeareth right unto man, but the way is the way of death. So they may take what they think is right, but it's always the way of death. But we, because we are in him as part of the word, we can receive him who is the word and become the word, or become grown children of God. Okay? Same life. So this word become is a Greek word, to become is a Greek word, genomai. Now the Greek word for power is exousia. But this Greek word for become is the word genomai. And it comes from the root that speaks of our genes. And it means to come into being. Come into being. In other words, you're coming into being what you already are, which is sons and daughters of God, which were born, which were given birth, not of blood. This is not speaking of a physical birth, nor of the will of the flesh. Nothing your parents could choose for you. Nor of the will of man, and nothing you could choose for yourself, but of God. So we're born of God. Just that simple. Now, in this age of repentance, when Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Ghost, is standing at the door crying, be zealous therefore and repent. Remember, he's knocking at the door. He's the word. We see he is declaring to us that we needed to have a change of the mind. Because we come into this world and, you know, like Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. So I don't go out and play when I should be doing other things, okay? In other words, my mind is changing. It's got to change in order to become adopted. Now, the word English, the world English Bible, it says of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, "Behold, I will send you the prophet before the Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of Yahweh comes." So that is the parousia of Christ. Lord means Jehovah. Some pronounce it Yahweh. And he, the Lord, who descends with a shout, that is the same as 1 Thessalonians 4:16, will turn the hearts, that is the understanding, to, that's 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. In that day, when I see him face to face, I will go from thinking like a child to becoming a fully mature adult. So when we see him face to face, the word is emprosthene, and means when I'm actually standing in his presence, okay? Now back to Malachi 4, 6. When he will turn the hearts or the understanding of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest they come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. So this growing up to be adoption ready all happens by the grace of God through a message he's given to through the spirit of Elijah to a man. And now Brother Branham said the Elijah of our day is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will come through a prophet. Something like that. And that is from trying to do God a service without it being his will. He said, now he promised that. So that sets the Bible just exactly to when? To this day. And the Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Elijah was not, That was the Spirit of God on Elijah. Elijah was just a man. Now, we've had Elijahs and Elijah's coats and Elijah's mantles and Elijah's everything else. But the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to come according to Luke 17:30, is the Son of Man, is to reveal himself among his people. Not a man, God, but it'll come through a prophet. Now, so we're looking at grace. And he's saying, Brother Branham's telling us, this grace that we receive to become sons is actually a message God brings down with him in a shout. Wow. The very fact you're hearing this voice of God is brought to bring you understanding to become what you already are. You see it? If we don't have the message, we don't mature. We can sit and listen to tapes, but if we don't study those tapes, we don't know what he's saying. It's just babble. You might as well put on a song of, sixpence, pocket full of rye. You know, in other words, the people, they listen to tapes, but they don't study the tapes. Brother Bam didn't say play it. He said, say what I say. And you cannot say it unless you understand it. Okay. So Revelation 3, we're going to look at the scenario of God here. From Revelation 3, 13 to 22, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works," okay, "that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I listen to tapes." No, excuse me, that's not what he said. I'm just joking with you, because people don't take it serious enough that you don't just listen to a tape. He that hears, you have to understand. Brother Branham said, hearing is understanding. You have to understand, and it takes a fivefold ministry to break it down. I've heard people say, well, I don't need someone to chew my meat for me. I'm an adult. I can chew it myself. No, you're not an adult. First of all, I've never chewed my kids' food. Can you imagine, Christine, if I chewed your food for you so you could swallow it? That's gross to even think that way. But because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. I have all the message on I can just push it a play and I got it all and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch had more sense when he says, I need a man to tell me what this says, when he's reading from Isaiah. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, here it comes, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be willing to change your mind. I wouldn't say these things if I didn't love you. I just, hey, let's get the big church and get all the tithes and just, we'll have hundreds, we'll build a bigger church, we'll build a huge church and we'll get hundreds of people in here and we'll just be sweet to everybody and you'll just focus on the family type and you know, we'll just not talk about the word, we'll just talk about getting along. And that would, they'd pack in here. But they don't love the word because they're not the word. You understand? They went out from among us because they're not of us. Doesn't get any plainer than that. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If any man will hear or understand my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So we are going to be sitting in the throne of God, or the throne of Christ, okay? And he's going to be sitting in God's place. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, unless you are willing to repent, you will never truly hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. For the word repent here is a Greek word that is a compound word made up of different Greek words. It's called metanoia. The first part, meta, which is a primary preposition meaning to alter, so alter your mind, which implies a change, or noio, which means to perceive. It comes from the root word nous, which speaks of the mind, or the seat of moral reflections. Notice that is a Greek word, metanoio, and is in contrast to the Greek word pronio, which means to perceive beforehand. Therefore, meta plus noio signifies to change one's mind or purpose, and is used always in the New Testament involving change for the better. And in all but one verse of Scripture refers to repentance from sin, which we know to be disbelief, or as Brother Branham termed it, unbelief. Now, the reason why I sidetracked here about repentance is because of this evil age that we're living in, the Satan's Eden. We see the Scripture admonishes us that we are in need of repentance. Repentance from what? Remember, repentance means a change of the mind, putting off our old mindset. Whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or even Catholic mindset, and putting on another mindset, which we will talk about today. Now back to this thought of on becoming sons as a Baptist or Pentecostal or whatever. When you read the word, because of certain conditioning that you were given, you were trained, that's your conditioning, to think on a certain way. So when you read 1 John 1:12, which says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when you read this word, to become sons, as a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or whatever denomination mindset you have, you might look at this scripture and think, we were not sons, and then we become sons. In other words, with your mindset, you think it says, we were hogs, and then we become sons. As though somehow we changed species from what we were to what we have become. So you see, our understanding was all cluttered, and as Jesus admonished us and said, repent, for behold, I stand here. So when you come into his presence, there's a message. He comes down with a shout, and he gives us a message that changes our thinking. Now we can be what we're supposed to be. But you must repent in order to hear and understand is what I'm really saying. You must forget your way of thinking and put on a new mindset, a new mind. In other words, we got to go from his mindset to get Christ's mindset. Now, the American dictionary, called Webster's Dictionary, tells us that the word become means the following: to come into being. In other words, to come forth, to grow to be, to change or develop into by growth. So it's this grace, which is this message, that actually causes you to become by growth into what he ordained you to be. In other words, a tadpole becomes a frog. He has always had DNA of a tadpole, but his final looks was not what his original looks were like. He starts out with a tail and no legs, and then grows legs and drops a tail. But that is all part of his becoming a frog. You see, in order for you to become, you already had to be. But a certain change or development was necessary for you to come forth into a great measure of a son. Pele was born with the ability to manipulate a ball, but Pele, through instruction, learned the techniques and became the greatest soccer player that ever lived. I couldn't do that. Now, I could do some things, but I couldn't do it like him, okay? I wasn't ordained to be Pele. I was ordained to be Brian Kosorek. So, as the Apostle John said in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now, not tomorrow, not in the millennium, now are we the sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, at his appearing, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So it takes this message, seeing God, who God really is, to make you see who you really are. And our seeing him as he is triggers development in us, who are already sons, to become like him who is the firstborn son. Then, when we see him, we will know that we know that right now we are not like him, but it triggers something in us to become like him. Thus, we repent from what we are to what he is. So, with this in mind, let's again look at John 1:12, and again, let's read it in the text as well, verse 13. So we read them together. "But as many as received him, to them gave he," exousia, "ability to become sons." Make a right decision to become the sons, "even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood," that's not by human DNA, "nor of the will of the flesh," that's not by what your parents did or what you did, "nor of the will of man, but of God." So notice the power he gave had nothing to do with our efforts, but simply of his will. So that takes you and your will out of it altogether and puts it back on God. That's why I said in the beginning, there are things that we are partakers of and then things that God does for us. We're not talking about things we can do. We're talking about what God does to make us a partaker, okay? Also, let's turn to Galatians 4:1-7. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And because, not when you become, but because you already are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, "Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Only people that were in God's thinking before the foundation of the world can become sons, and only them can become heirs. Okay? Notice this says, "Because you are sons, God sends forth a certain anointing to anoint you as sons, that you might truly reflect your Father." Then it speaks of us as sons, and yet For a time, we are treated more like servants, but notice that it speaks of the needs for the training. There's a need for a spiritual endowment. Anybody tell me what the word endowment means? We have schools for the endowed, right? That's people they say, you know, have a certain gift, a certain mental ability. All right. There is a need for a spiritual endowment to help us become what we were already predestined to become. In other words, there is a need for a spiritual, not just ability, but a spiritual understanding to become what we are. You see, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 3, it says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ." Why would he say it twice? Grace, grace. Remember, even the Bible says grace, grace be unto it, right? "That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." The word utterance is logos, the word knowledge is gnosko, experiential knowledge. Notice this enriching is like fertilizer, and the fertilizer is the utterance, which is the logos, and the knowledge, which is the gnosko, or the experiential knowing. So God uses his word and experience to bring us to the place where we all have the same mind, as we continue to read in verse 6. "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed or established in you." That's why we become partakers. That's why we have gratitude. That's why we sing in psalms and, you know, and all this stuff and repeating the word. It's because God has ordained us to grow into becoming sons. So the whole purpose of this experiential knowing and the enriching by his word is to bring forth the same testimony that was in Christ to become part of who we are as well. So that you become behind in no gift, that's charisma, waiting for the coming or the apocalypse or unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now the word gift he speaks of was translated from the Greek word charisma, and it speaks of a spiritual endowment. So that you become not behind in the endowment, in the understanding, okay? And this word charisma comes from the root word charis, which means a divine influence upon the heart and its reflections in the life. That's your gratitude. The word endowment means inherently an inherent ability or quality. In other words, we say that child is gifted. That child didn't become gifted by some training of some teacher. He was gifted to be able to understand right away. Didn't have to sit there 30 to 50 years in the message, and then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. The minute he heard it, he heard it from his theophany, Brother Branham says, okay? "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Notice we are given a certain power to become a son. And this word power was translated from the Greek word exousia, which means an ability to make a right decision. You see, Brother Branham also said, no politician can make a right decision. But you have the ability to make a right decision. Therefore, you do not become politicians. Okay? That'd be an oxymoron. So when we are born of the Spirit of God as sons, we are anointed with a certain unction, which gives us an ability to become what we are ordained to become, but it gives us the ability to make the right decision concerning our becoming. You see? In other words, this grace actually is God's bringing down his message to you and sharing it with you so that you can understand. 1 John 2:20, it tells us, "But you have an unction, you have a charisma, you have an anointing." The same word that we saw in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, which is an anointing. And this anointing, he says, from the Holy One, what does this anointing produce? "And you know that you will know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." And of course, we understand from 1 Corinthians 2 that without the Holy Ghost anointing upon us, we could in no way understand the things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, in other words, out from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing Ephesians with Corinthians, you see? But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So it is impossible for a natural man to understand this message. So you should be thankful that you do, because it shows you are unique. You are a son and daughter of God. Now, notice he tells us the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit is to know the things of God. Then he tells us that it is impossible for the natural man to understand the things of God, because you have to be spirit-filled in order to know the things of God. Now that brings us to Galatians 1:1-4. Paul, an apostle, not a man, neither by man. In other words, some elder in some church didn't lay hands on me and say, you are now an apostle. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So notice here, Paul tells us that Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this evil world. Notice that it is this anointing, which is this grace, which is charisma, which is this unction, that delivers us from this evil age by anointing us with the very mind of Christ. You see, it's not hocus pocus that somebody laid over you and so you'll never grow up to go the wrong way. It's the Word of God that teaches you don't go that way. You understand? And that teaching of the Holy Spirit in your life is actually the grace of God to you. Now we read in 1 John 2:18-19, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so we see that John explains why we remain, because we know. Those who went out, he said, did not know, for had they known, they would not have left. Just as the Apostle Paul said, had they known that they would have crucified, or had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. But they did not know, and therefore they crucified the Lord of glory. And likewise here, John says, they left us because they did not know. You have an unction, therefore you do not, therefore you do know. You have the charisma, a certain grace to know and understand, because you are anointed with the same spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And that is why 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, who shall also confirm, vindicate, or establish you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not blameless because I didn't do it. I'm blameless because God chose me as a son. Get that across in your thinking. I might not be the perfect whatever you want me to be, but I'm the perfect what God wants me to be. And so, therefore, it doesn't make any good for us to criticize another person, because they are exactly what God wants them to be. Okay? God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. In other words, you're in his mind before the foundation of the world, and he makes you into a fully adult son or daughter of God. He is faithful to do what he started to do. He which began the work finishes it, okay? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And why not? If we have the same mind, we should speak the same thing. And that there be no division among you. He didn't say that you all play the same thing. Okay? You all speak the same thing. See, I don't know why, but I just think that this push-play is such a heretical doctrine that it needs to be thrown in the sea of forgetfulness and start. I don't mind you pushing the button to play if you're going to listen to what he says and you're going to talk it what he says. If you don't talk it, you haven't learned it. All right? That's why you get a test in school and you have to answer the questions on the test. You've got to show forth that you do know. Because you won't graduate from first grade to second grade unless you can know all the things in first grade. So if they put up 2 plus 2 equals 4, you see 2 plus 2 equals 4. Then you can say 4. But people in this message don't know one quote from another. That's why they've got seven thunders. And Brother Brown said all the thunders were revealed in the seals, but they got seven thunders coming yet. Another season, misplacing, mislocation. You see, that's why they've got all these different doctrines. Two souls. Who ever heard of two souls? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if that soul shall repent, it shall live. All right? That there be no divisions among you, that you may all be perfectly joined together in the same mind, not your mind, not my mind, Christ's mind, and in the same judgment. And how could we be perfectly joined together in the same mind unless we have the same mind, unless that same mind is perfect? 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And Brother Brown said, we have, by God's grace, the perfect revealed word. And who's that? That's God. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Why? Because I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. When? When that which is perfect is come. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And Brother Bram said in questions and answers, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid, trying to talk in tongues, I'll add to it, not to take away from what he's saying, but say, and dancing in the aisles, and all these other things, when that which is perfect, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. Then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So you see the importance of God coming down with the spirit of Elijah, with a shout, to take the hearts of the children back to the Pentecostal fathers, the original Pentecostal fathers. In other words, from child to fathers, you're growing up. And it's a message to give us what it takes to grow from children into adulthood, ready for adoption. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us this plain understanding to know, Father, it's your grace upon our life to change us into what we ought to be, or actually what we have been, into changing us to being a grown-up version and actually a reflection of what you meant us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.